There are things that we experience but never talk about. A shadow moving in a corner, flickering of the lights, a disembodied voice. We invite you to talk with us, share your story, share your evidence, because this isn't just your story, this is our story. This is Ghost Box Radio.
And this is Ghost Box Radio on AM 950, where every week we talk about the paranormal, ufology, Bigfoot, or just the unusual. My name is Char Savoy, filling in for Greg Bakken this week, and thank you for joining me today. Greg is away again this weekend and asked me to fill in for him. And besides being a paranormal investigator myself, I'm also an energy healer, intuitive, and medium, and I'm the owner of Charvinity. And you can find out more about me and my services and products on my website at www.charvinity.com. Today, I am really excited to welcome to the studio, really in the studio, is Brandi Green. Brandi is from Minnesota native, and she is, at the age of 23, she joined the cast of Sci-Fi Channel's Ghost Hunters International, where she appeared in over 30 episodes. She also appeared in an episode of Ghost Hunters. She has worked in 40 countries, 6 continents, and nearly every state in the U.S., and she's also worked in production on Haunted Towns. She has several other credits to her name as well. Brandi Green, welcome to Ghost Box Radio.
Thank you so much for having me. That was a great intro song, by the way, I have to say.
Oh, good. Awesome. Well, I am so glad that you are here. And also, I would like to invite all of our listeners to join in the conversation. You can do so, and you can call in with a question to Brandi live on the air. You can call 952-946-6205, or you can email us a comment or a question. The email address for the station is comment@am950radio.com. We are also live on the AM 950 radio, but we're also streaming video on the following Facebook pages. You can watch us on AM 950, Things Network, Paranormal United Network, Free Spirited, Minnesota Ghost Box, and Charvinity. And feel free to leave comments there as well for Brandi and myself. I will do my best to monitor them. All right. So, Brandi, you come from a long line of people that have been in production, correct?
I do, yes.
Yeah, so how did you get into actually getting into Sci-Fi's Ghost Hunters International? How did that come about?
Well, it's a funny story, actually, because I was, as you said earlier, about 22, 23 years old, and I finally landed a grown-up job. It had a 401k, and it had health insurance and all of that wonderful stuff. And when I was doing that, I also had my own home team called Pig's Eye Entity Researchers, or PEER for short. And we just investigated local businesses, homes within the Twin Cities area. And so I did that on the weekends. And through that, that was back in the MySpace era. I don't know if anyone remembers MySpace.
I kind of miss MySpace.
I feel like it was simpler back then. But through that, I had met Barry Fitzgerald, and we had a lot of conversations about everything from elementals to what it's like investigating locally. And one day, I was at my day job in a dimly lit cubicle with no windows, and he calls me on my cell phone in a very quiet office space, by the way. And I'm like, Barry, I can't talk right now. I'm working. And he called me back, and he called me back again. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I took the call. And at that point, GHI had just started.
Okay.
And they had already lost like 4 cast members. And he's like, we need a new case manager. Are you available? And I said no, because I didn't want to do television. And he kept hounding me, and so I submitted like a 1-minute, hi, my name is Brandi kind of thing. And I'm like, they are never going to pick me, like, at all. And 2 days later, I got the call from the executive producer. They had to expedite my passport, and I was overseas before I even realized what was going on.
Oh, my gosh. That's a whirlwind right there.
It really was. And being so young, too.
Like, yeah. So where was your first location that you went off to?
Yeah, so I landed in Manchester, England, And I don't think it really hit me until, I realized everyone has these British accents. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is really happening.
Right. Oh, my gosh. So Barry, he's a character.
Yes, he is.
I don't know him very well. I mean, just from watching him in TV, but he just seems like he has personality bigger than life.
He's like the real life version of the Lucky Charms little cartoon guy.
Oh, my gosh. So now you've gone to 40 countries. Mm-hmm. Which one was your favorite?
Oh, my. That's tough. I have favorites for different reasons.
Okay.
Costa Rica is gorgeous, of course. Italy, amazing food, architecture, art, all of that. I love Northern Ireland. It's like the stereotype of Ireland, but like on steroids. Really. They don't cater to, all of the tourists and stuff. And it's just more authentic, I feel like. Definitely I have a number of favorite places.
Awesome. What about your favorite location that you went to?
I love the Grande Hotel in Cambuquita, Brazil. We had a ton of activity, and I'm a skeptic. And that place even made me kind of second guess a lot of stuff that I was experiencing.
Awesome. Now, what was – okay, so we talked about the best. What was, like, your least favorite country to be in?
That's tough. I don't know about maybe country specifically, but maybe location. One of my least favorite locations was in Peru. It was this household that we just needed, like, an extra case to add to make LA happy. And it was like, how about this place? And it was falling apart. It was literally right on the highway. And so anytime a truck drove past, everything shook and made noises and all of this. And it was terrible. It was the worst time. And there was one toilet that barely worked. And we had a production crew of 17 people. That's cast and crew.
Oh, my God.
Plus the family that lived there. Oy.
That's a lot of people for one toilet.
It was truly horrifying.
Oh, my gosh. Did you even get anything out of there?
No. We debunked everything. So, I mean, it was good because it balanced out the episode. But just being there, we knew walking in, like, this is just terrible.
Oh, my gosh. Now, with GHI, you traveled a lot. Like, how long were you gone while you were traveling with that?
Generally, it was about 6 weeks on the road, and then we would fly to our respective home states for 2 to 3 days, just long enough to basically wash laundry, do a Target run, restock, and then go back again. So we never knew what time zone we were in. We never knew where we were. It was just always go, go, go.
Oh, my gosh. That I think I would lose my mind. I wouldn't know where I was.
That's happened to me.
And I remember the shots of you guys getting on the planes and stuff and just equipment for days. And, like, how much did you guys actually bring with you?
We had hundreds of thousands of dollars worth in everything from paranormal specific gear to all of the production gear, cameras, batteries, all of that.
Did you guys get your own planes? I mean, was there room for anybody else?
Well, oftentimes, we would ship from L.A. And then from there, it was just like, get in line early, get your stuff on that conveyor belt, and pay a ton of money for insurance and all of that. So, yeah.
I can't even imagine that. Did you guys lose anything? Did anything get lost?
I think there were some incidents where that happened. We had one situation when we were in the favelas in Brazil, and we actually had to pay off basically the godfather of the cartel specific to that favela so that they wouldn't steal all of our stuff and kill us and all of that other.
Are you serious?
I'm very serious, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Now, that's a story. That would be very nerve-wracking. I don't know how you would even, be comfortable to do what you had to do.
Well, we didn't really have a choice.
Well, that's true,
And so we were investigating this place up in the favelas. It was a cultural center, and about 2 a.m., we're hearing gunfire in the distance, and we're just looking at Dave Hobbs, our producer, like, really? And he looks back on us, and he's like, it's fireworks. They're just really excited that you're here. And we're like, we're not dumb. Like, we're going to all die.
Oh, my gosh. That, nope, I'd be out. I don't think I could do that. It'd be super cool until that point,
right.
I think.
We weren't allowed to leave until 6 a.m. Otherwise, they couldn't guarantee our safety.
I honestly don't even know what to say right now. That's amazing. That's bizarre and amazing all at the same time. So now, is there one thing that happened on all of these investigations that just blew you away?
That's tough. You know, I've had a lot of really strange experiences, but because I am a skeptic, I'm always trying to debunk or provide alternative explanations. I remember, though, I had a personal experience, which at the end of the day, it doesn't really account for much because you need to be able to provide factual evidence, right? But I was in a torture chamber in South Africa at Cape Town Castle, Castle of Good Hope, I think. And I was all by myself. I told my camera guy, my sound guy, wait outside. So when they put cameras on sticks, I was by myself. And I was about to leave. It had been like 45 minutes of just nothing. Pitch dark. I had a trifold meter, my EMF meter, and the camera, and just sitting there. And all of a sudden, I felt what felt like a hand brush down my face. Mm. And of course, being a female with long hair, you feel for flyaways, you look for spiders, there's nothing there. And at that same time, the trifield meter spiked.
Mm, interesting.
So, interesting, but not enough to deem it haunted.
Right. All right. Well, we're going to head into our first break here, and we're going to come back and talk some more. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Brandi Green from Ghost Hunters International, Ghost Hunters and the producer for Haunted Towns. And you are listening to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950. And we are back on AM 950. Welcome back to Brandi Green. I am Char Savoy, filling in for Greg Bakken. Brandi is from Ghost Hunters International, Ghost Hunters, and the producer for Haunted Towns. Now, we're on break. You told me a very interesting story about being on a boat. You want to share that with everybody?
Sure. So we were in Northern Ireland in County Antrim, and we were going up to Rathlin Island for one of our investigations. And we were on a car carrier going through the Sea of Moyle. And this was during April, and there were actual whirlpools that were spinning in the sea. Like, you could, we had to actually delay our departure time and stay in a hotel right there where you could see the sea. And from the hotel room windows, you could see these basically tornadoes in the water. I mean, it was insane. And our captain, he looked like Captain Ahab. Like, this guy had seen things, right?
Right.
And even we couldn't pay him enough to go. He's like, nope, not going to do it. And so the next day, we finally talked him into it. And it was him and his, like, first mate, you know, like Gilligan.
Right.
And we're on this carrier, and the mate is looking at the captain, and they're just looking at each other back and forth like, this is it. Like, we're pretty much going to die probably today.
Oh, God.
And I was so sick. Everyone was so sick. We had a camera guy who was throwing up overboard. The waves were crashing far above the ship. And once we actually finally made, you know, landfall, oh, my gosh. We jumped out. I was, like, kissing the pavement. And then I realized, oh, wait, we have to do this again to get back.
Oh, God.
To the mainland. Oh, it was terrible. It was really, really bad.
Was getting back better?
It was slightly better, but I'm not going to lie. I may have had a few drinks before that one.
I'm not going to argue that. I'm going to say good choice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be a lot. So now, Ghost Hunters, you appeared on an episode of Ghost Hunters. Mm-hmm. What happened there?
So we investigated their inn. I cannot recall the name of their inn. It was up in New Hampshire during the winter time. And there was like 10 feet of snow, and it's like really out there, like kind of among the mountains. And we were investigating, and there was this loud knocking noise, and I found out it was the plumbing. So how ironic.
Right.
Is that?
Jason and Grant need to get on the plumbing there,
well,
apparently.
Well, the funny thing is I made a mention to the plumbing more than one time throughout the investigation, and not once was it ever actually put into the actual episode. So, you know.
Well, there's irony for you. Oh, my gosh. All right. Now, I know you said that you did start off as paranormal investigating here in Minnesota. How long did you do that for?
Oh, man. I first started really kind of getting into it and going off on my own doing some stuff when I was about maybe 16, 17. And it wasn't until I was about 18 that I actually formed my group. And I did that for a few years, but then I landed GHI and I just couldn't maintain that.
Right.
And no one wanted to step up into the leadership role, so it kind of just went to the wayside.
Well, when your leader goes off to do the things you did, that's kind of big shoes to fill. Now, also, too, being in Minnesota, do you feel like it's less talked about than other places?
Absolutely.
Yeah, because we kind of all get that feeling, too. It's like we just kind of shove it under the table, I think.
Absolutely. And the funny thing is like, if you go south to Iowa, mm-hmm. everything's haunted. Everyone wants to talk about a paranormal experience they had. And as soon as you come up to Minnesota, it's like, yeah, that's not really a thing here.
Yeah, well, even, like, Wisconsin kind of embraces it a little bit more. South Dakota. I mean, everybody kind of embraces it. You come to Minnesota, which is so weird because we're supposed to be Minnesota nice, but...
Or passive-aggressive.
Very passive-aggressive. So we just hide it quite a bit, which is, I think, kind of sad because we have some really amazing places here
right.
that are worth checking out, and some that would be great to check out that people aren't allowed to check out, too. So
that seems to be the dominant problem.
Yeah, unfortunately. Dang it. All right. Now, you are also a producer for Haunted Towns. How did that happen?
Yeah, so I was working at Tremendous Entertainment, which actually the headquarters at the time was about 4 minutes away from the studio.
Oh, wow.
So I came to work every day, and I worked on the show Bizarre Foods, Delicious Destinations with Andrew Zimmern. I did 6 seasons of that with Tremendous. So I was working in office here, and it was Ghost Asylum, I believe, at the time, and that had come to an end. So they decided, well, we're going to keep these guys on because they were a Tremendous Entertainment show
right.
as well. And they're like, but we're going to do a different show with them. And you have experience in this. So they just basically hired me in-house to do
nice.
To do that. But I ended up moving out to L.A. for that one to work on their L.A. Office.
Okay.
And so I did pre-pro on that, and then I was an associate field producer, so I was out in the field with them. So I traveled with the guys. I, you know, had to charge all of their equipment and go over their evidence and, you know.
So you kind of flipped roles a little bit there.
Yeah.
So how what do you, when you do that, so like you were in the camera doing the investigations, now you're behind the scenes. Which one did you like better?
On camera is so much easier.
I suppose it's a lot of work behind the scenes, which I think people don't understand.
They have no idea, you know, and kind of jumping ahead. But so during the pandemic, when no one could do anything, Dustin Perry and I decided to do a show called mm-hmm. Fuzzy Memories from the Road. And it kind of talked about all of that behind the scenes stuff that was involved with GHI. In our last 2 episodes, we had Barry Fitzgerald on, but then we had a crew episode where we actually talked to some of the crew members, because no one understands that the crew has a lot of work that they're juggling behind the camera that no one knows about.
Right. Well, I mean, you said you had a crew of like 17 people. I mean, there's cameras, microphone people, there's all kinds of different things that we never see. Nope. We might see that random camera guy or microphone guy, but there's so many more than that. And right. I think that's the other thing people don't understand about paranormal investigating either, is when you actually go do it, there's so much behind the scenes work. Definitely. So when you were on GHI, did you end up doing the review for stuff?
That's what I loved about the show I did, GHI. We were a paranormal team that was followed around with a camera crew documenting us doing our job. So we were in charge of going over all of our footage and cutting it together and all of that. We did that.
That's awesome. I love that. All right, we're going to take another break here. And when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Brandi Green, paranormal on-screen talent and television producer. Recently, we had Ernie and Denise Pack on from Pac-Man Paranormal talking about their work along with others to save Waverly Hills. I urge everyone to seek out that episode from January 16th and listen to what is going on at Waverly Hills and to also support them in their endeavor. Go to SaveWaverlyHills.com and sign the petition, and please consider making a donation via their GoFundMe. And please share out SaveWaverlyHills.com. Also, again, my name is Shara Savoy, and I am I'm not a medical person. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm a medium. Whoa, I don't know who I am now. Okay, so I am a medium and an energy healer, and I am the owner of Sharvinity.com. If you'd like to learn more about me or my classes, you can find me on Facebook as well. And then also, if you miss Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken Live, AM 950 replays these episodes Saturday nights at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, or you can listen anytime by going to Spotify or iTunes after listening. Please leave a positive review for his show. I would appreciate it, and I know he would too. And again, welcome back, Brandi, and thank you for being here in studio. This is fun.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. This is like, this is my first time with an in-studio guest, and I'm like, oh, there's somebody sitting there. So that's kind of interesting. So you talked a little bit about Fuzzy Memories from the Road with Dustin. Do you want to talk a little bit more about that? I caught a couple episodes on YouTube.
Sure. So we have two seasons of the show. It's on YouTube, and so it's free to watch. And it basically just follows each episode that Dustin and I did together on GHI. And it's a fun look back that sometimes we get the facts wrong, you know. Over time, the memory kind of changes things sometimes. But it's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff that never made air, that the fans of the show may have never known about. A lot of fun pictures that we took, stuff like that. The final two episodes of season two, we have Barry Fitzgerald on, and then we also have a crew episode where we have a camera guy and one of our producers, and they talk about their experiences with working on a ghost show, because that's not something that everyone gets to do.
Right. And I want to ask you a question, too. Did you find that most of these people that were on the crew really had nothing to do with the paranormal? It was just they were just there doing their job?
Most of them. Like 99.9% of them really could care less about paranormal. It was just you wake up every day and you turn your camera on and you go. And the funny thing is, though, towards the end of the run, I think some of them kind of changed their minds about certain aspects of the paranormal, and I feel like they probably walked away with a greater respect for what we did.
Yeah. Did some of them have experiences? I feel like I remember a couple clips.
Yes. So if you watch our crew episode, we actually have some fun stories about that. One of our camera guys had a number of experiences, I think at Charleville Castle, that just totally freaked him out, that he still tells people about today. And so it's always fun to hear those stories, because even when we were on the road, oftentimes we didn't really talk to our crew about any personal experiences they may have had.
That's super cool. I love that they have the experiences, because I feel like sometimes it's the ones that are the naysayers, or they don't want to believe in it. They're the ones that they're like, oh, really? We're going to go talk to you. You know, they kind of come after them a little bit. So I love that they had their experiences too. Now, we kind of talked a little bit too about when you were on GHI, you guys did a lot of review work.
Hours and hours and hours. I mean, you figure we were running, you know, probably 6-7 audio recorders at any given time, that many cameras, that, you know, I mean, it was just, we had data loggers, all of that. So that's real time, you know, that you have to go through and scrub all of that. And sometimes we actually had to reach out to our crew and pull, you know, footage from their cameras and their audio, because sometimes they would capture things that we didn't.
Right. Did it give you a time frame and how long you had to review everything?
Normally we had about 24 hours.
Oh, my God. That's not enough time.
No.
I can't even imagine. Like, I have struggled to get through one recorder in hours, so I can't imagine having 24 hours to go through all of that.
In addition to just being exhausted
right.
all the time anyway, so yeah.
So tell the truth, did you ever fall asleep listening to anything?
It may have happened. I mean, I'm not going to lie.
It's hard sometimes, especially when you're tired. You're just kind of like, oh my gosh, listening to nothing for a few hours.
Oh, a few hours. Yeah, no, like 8, 9, 10, yeah. 11 hours. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Now, I know, like, personally, like, when, like, me and Greg go and do investigations, we run recorders pretty much 24/7. Is that kind of what you guys did too, or just while you were filming?
Well, it would depend. Sometimes we actually had a location that we would additionally stay at. So instead of staying at a hotel and driving to a location, we would actually stay at that location. So anytime we were doing that, oftentimes, even when the cameras weren't rolling for LA, we as investigators were still recording our own footage. So anytime we were able to do that, we would.
Awesome. Now, and I'm vaguely remembering everybody that was on the show. You had quite a very, I loved the people on your show. I mean, I thought it was such a great group. Dustin, he's an amazing guy. He's just an all-around nice guy. Mm-hmm. And then Barry, he's the character. You had Joe on there. And he seems like a really, I've never met Joe either. He seems like a nice guy. And then was it Scott?
Yep, Tepperman.
Tepperman, yep. Mm-hmm. And I've met him once, and he's kind of a character too.
He can be. Yeah, I haven't spoken to Scott in many, many years. But he was very enthusiastic when we were on the show together. We had quite a bit of turnaround, though, or turnover for cast. And sometimes we would lose a cast member, and then the next day we would have someone flying in to cover that position, and no one would talk about it. So it was like, so we're pretending that person, like, never existed? Like, how is this working?
They just fell in the closet. We don't know where they went. Yeah, I remember that. There was, like, all of a sudden somebody new would come in. I think Chris Williams was on for a while.
We had so many different people.
That's what I was, like, trying to run through my head. I'm like, God, I can't remember everybody that was on there because it seemed like there was quite a few people. So, yeah, it was interesting. But I really thoroughly enjoyed the show. Now, with Haunted Towns, you're behind the scenes. What's the difference there, like, between the show, like, the way the shows ran? Like, what did you see that was totally different?
I feel like for me, and, you know, going back to what I said before, with GHI, we were a group of paranormal investigators that were all pulled together from different walks of life in different areas of the world. And we were being followed by a documentary crew. We were doing what we did, and they didn't really involve themselves with what we were doing.
Right.
And Haunted Towns, it was very produced.
Okay.
So it was very different. And, I mean, it's not just Haunted Towns. It's just that's kind of the new way that shows are being shot now, which is sad, I think.
Yeah, I like more of the raw kind of stuff, the really seeing you in the moment of what you're doing. That I miss that. I miss that about those early shows. That's kind of a bummer, but... So now with Haunted Towns, you traveled around with them a lot too, and they mostly just stayed in the United States, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So where was your favorite place with them?
Well, that's a good question. I think we went to Arizona, and that was pretty cool. We went into the mine, which was just a horrible idea that did not work out well. we did Lizzie Borden's, and that's the joke that I have. You know, I traveled to 40 countries, 6 continents, and mostly U.S. Finally got to Lizzie Borden's, but I didn't get to investigate. So it was like, it kind of killed my soul a little bit.
I'm going to agree with you. I would kind of be a little sad. It's like, did you stand outside and wave at them like a small child crying?
Yeah, I was like, I'm in there, but in a producer capacity. And so, like, I'm watching them do the cables and do their EVP sessions. And just like, I would have done that differently. I would have done that differently.
Were you able to tell them to do something different? I mean, or is it not really your...
I mean, you could have. They wouldn't have listened.
Okay. So now, as far as like anywhere in the United States, obviously, if you could go back to Lizzie Borden, you probably would.
Yeah, sure.
Is there somewhere you haven't been that's kind of like on your bucket list of places to go check out?
You know, that's tough. I would love to go to Egypt.
Ooh, that would be intense, I think.
I would love to do more of, like, the djinn kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be really... Egypt scares me. I don't know why. I don't know what it is. It must be a past life thing.
Maybe. Just thousands of years of very specific history.
Yeah, very. And well, and I think they're very... the way that they look at things, like their superstition things, the way their traditions are very exact. And I feel like some of that I would do the wrong thing and then I'd be like cursed for life. I don't know. All right. So now you also have something coming up called Dark Dispatches.
Yeah. So that was actually my attempt at doing a comic book series. It's a trilogy. The first two issues are out. The third one is written. I was supposed to have the artwork done by this amazing artist who's worked for DC, Marvel, and Disney.
Wow.
His name is Jim Fern, but he's a friend of mine, so he was going to do it kind of cheap for me. and then he landed this huge gig that, like, he couldn't pass up. So that the third one has been delayed. Okay. But the two are out now. It was just – I figured, well, I haven't done this yet. I've traveled. I've done all of this. I've never really ventured into the comic book world. You can get those online. And I have links and stuff on my social media and all of that.
Perfect. Now, I know you're on Facebook and Instagram. Do you have a webpage?
I do. It's Miss M-I-S-S. Brandy, Brandy, Green, Green.com.
Perfect. And they can find all these links for things there?
Absolutely.
Perfect. And do you have your the Fuzzy Memories linked in there as well? So if people just go to one spot, they can find everything that we've talked about?
Absolutely.
Perfect.
Trying to streamline it and make it easy.
Make it easy. Bring back that MySpace, right? Awesome. Now, I also know I recently discovered that GHI is replaying on Peacock Network.
It is for free. You can sign up for free and watch it for free. Amazing.
That's awesome. I know. I went looking. I'm like, where can I find GHI? And I'm like, I have Peacock on my TV. So I was excited to see that and watch those shows again because it's been a while since I've seen them.
Yeah, it's been a minute. I think the only thing that I'm a little disappointed about with that is they don't have any of the extras or deleted scenes that are apparently available on the DVDs. If anyone's lucky enough to actually have a DVD, that's where those features are. So they don't have those on Peacock.
Well, dang Peacock, I need to get with it. I know, I do miss some of like when you used to get DVDs or VHSs. Oh God, I'm dating myself really bad now. Where you get the extra stuff. That's the fun stuff when you get to see that. Now, I don't remember, did GHI ever do a live episode?
No, I feel like we were so old school. That was back before the live.
Okay.
I think that GH was just starting to do their Halloween lives back then. It was like this new thing.
Yeah, the timelines are kind of blurring there for me for a second, so I wasn't sure if you guys had done one or not. So, because those were fun.
It would have been tough for us because a lot of times we were in totally different time zones. So.
Right. Yeah, that's true. All right, so we're going to head into another break here, and when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Ghost Hunters International on-screen talent and Haunted Towns producer, Brandy Green. You are listening to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950. Next week on Ghost Box Radio with Greg Buck, and Greg is back, and he is having Chase Klotsky, who is a UFO investigator, author, and has been appeared on numerous television shows. They will be talking about two UFO incidents. I apologize. I am so tongue-tied today. This is not a good day for radio. I'm sorry. Anyways, so they're going to talk about the Battle of Los Angeles in 1942 and the UFOs over the White House and the U.S. Capitol in 1952. It's going to be an amazing episode not to miss. Also, we're very happy that Enchanted Boutique is open for business with reduced inventory after a water main break a month ago. The store is looking great and it's ready for your business. Come in their new location in Maplewood, Minnesota to look at their wide selection of metaphysical products. Whether you live in Minnesota or not, you should see what they have to offer. They are located at 1860 Beam Avenue, Maplewood, Minnesota, or check them out on Facebook or their website at www.enchantedboutiquemn.com. And you can also find me there a couple days a week and stop and say hello if you see me. So in our final segment here, we turn to our guest today, Brandi Green from Ghost Hunters International, Ghost Hunters and the producer of Haunted Towns. Yay! All right, so we kind of talked a little bit. Now, you mentioned that you worked on Bizarre Foods. That's a whole nother step away from paranormal.
Yeah, it definitely is. And that was kind of the route that I took, how I landed the Haunted Towns job. So I work for Tremendous Entertainment, and I did 6 seasons of Bizarre Foods Delicious Destinations with Andrew Zimmern. And so basically I worked in pre-pro for that in the office. And that means I did all of the research, all of the initial location lockdowns, the chefs, figuring out how the food was made, the history of the food, the history of the location, all of that. Basically, everything that Andrew says on camera is what I made happen.
Well, bravo. But you kind of did a lot of research with GSI, too. So that's kind of where you kind of kept going with the research thing, right?
Right, yeah. I mean, I definitely had the history of location research and all of that that kind of helped me get that job.
That's awesome. Now, you have some things coming up?
I do. So I have a couple events. The first one coming up is in Hinsdale, New York, up by Buffalo, the Hinsdale House with Dan Klass. And I'm doing 2 nights there in June. And tickets are on sale now for that. And then in October, I will be at Malvern Manor down in Iowa. So I'm looking forward to that as well.
Have you been to those 2 places before?
So I've been to Malvern. I've gotten the VIP tour, but I've never investigated there before.
Okay.
And I've never been to Hinsdale.
Oh, fun. Yay. Something new.
Something new.
I will also be going to Malvern in October.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Booked it overnight. I'm excited for that. I haven't been there yet, so I'll have to watch what you're doing and see.
Okay.
Awesome. So where can people get tickets for these 2 events?
So you can go on to my social media. I regularly post about any events that I'm doing with ticket links and all of that good stuff. So just go follow me on social media or stalk my pages. I don't care.
Awesome. All right. So, and also then what you have, oh my gosh, I lost my total question here. What else? Do you have anything else coming up too? Any other projects or?
Yeah, so I'm always pitching show ideas to different production companies, and they're not all paranormal. So I'm working on some research for a couple of those and research on a project that I'm hoping to start filming documentary style this year, this summer, hopefully. And I don't have details on that yet. Not anything I can share.
Sure, right.
But when I do, I will be posting all over town about it.
Awesome. And now, is this going to be something where you're behind the scenes or you're going to be back in front of the camera?
It should be on camera.
Yay. That'll be nice to see you back on something.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
It has.
Awesome. So is there any other crazy stories that you'd like to share?
Oh, my. Oh, I have a fun one real quick.
Okay.
So we were in, I think it was back in Peru. I think it was that terrible house that we had to investigate. And Barry Fitzgerald was investigating with Angela Alderman, and they were sitting there on the corner of the bed doing an EVP session. And it was really quiet. And I had to go over the audio for this, right? And it's quiet, and they're asking, if you're here, can you make your presence known? All of a sudden, you hear what sounds like someone that has gas. And at the same time, they're running the mini TV, and I can see Barry's face in conjunction with the audio that I just heard. And his face is like, oops. And Angela heard it. She's right next to him, and she looks at him. And, you know, it's pitch dark, so it's all IR, and so it makes her eyes look even bigger, and she's terrified, and she looks at him, and she's like, Perry, did you hear that? It sounded like a growl.
Oh, my God. That's
and he
awesome.
He didn't come clean at all until evidence review. And I'm like, Barry, is there something you would like to say to Angela?
Oh, that's hilarious. And that's funny because it's true, though, because I know, like, even stomach growls sound like just crazy monsters coming out of nowhere.
He said it was because he had potatoes for dinner.
Potatoes?
Yeah.
Okay.
An Irishman that can't hold his potatoes.
I was going to say, that seemed a little, like, not the truth, you know? I mean, we made the mistake of going to a taco bar before an investigation. Ooh. That was not a wise choice.
Yeah, and stay away from Indian food.
Yeah, nope. It's upset. You're like, tummy. Like, there's an investigation tummy. That's a thing. Your nerves get the best of you and your tummy goes crazy. I mean, done. We're done. So awesome. Now, as far as, like, when you got started, what really prompted you to get into the paranormal? I think, didn't you live, like, in a haunted house, or was there...
No. So, interesting. I come from a really large family. And so, unfortunately, with a large family, that kind of equates to going to a lot of funerals at some point in time. And so, I experienced a lot of death in my family. And my mom is a full-fledged believer, her and her siblings. My dad does not believe in the paranormal at all. And so I kind of came from this give-and-take background. My mom, believer, my dad, not. And so I was like, what? What is this? Like, is this it?
Yeah.
Like, or is there more? And who do I believe? And so I feel like that's probably why I'm so skeptical, so grounded in that. But I have, like, an innate interest in it. And one of my degrees when I went to college the first time was in cultural anthropology and mythology. And so I find religion fascinating and how that all plays into paranormal beliefs around the world, because it's all different.
Right.
Yeah.
Everybody has their own little how they view it and how they look at it, and if they want to view it even, because there's some cultures that want nothing to do with it.
Right.
Yeah, it's fascinating to me too. So now, does your dad believe after all the things you've done?
No, he doesn't. And
really?
He told me the only reason why I watched that show was because you were on it.
Aww.
He makes that very clear.
Well, that's sweet for Dad. Thanks, Dad. But, oh, my goodness. Yeah, so great. Thank you so much for being here. I want to thank our guest today, Brandy Green. Besides being a former member of Ghost Hunters International, producer for Haunted Towns and other various television programs, she's also an avid adventurer, traveler, photographer, and historian. You can please check out her website at www.missbrandygreen.com. She's also on Facebook and Instagram. This has been Ghost Box Radio with Char Savoy on AM 950. Thank you for all for joining me, and we'll be talking with famous UFO incidents with Chase Klasky next week. Take care. Thank you.